So it doesn't sound like it matters if you get the vaccine or not. Because if a non-vaccinated person, can't affect a vaccinated person, then we should be fine. But it doesn't sound like that's the case.
Wait a minute. I think you misunderstood something there, and I'm not sure what it was. It's going to spread primarily amongst the unvaccinated.
Okay, well, we're fine then. We just take our chances. Right?
Darwinism at work.
Huh?
Yeah.
Darwinism, that's exactly right.
Gentlemen, shall we begin?
Around the airport with your pants down.
Yeah.
Holding a little dog.
I'm an idiot.
I'm about to ask you to leave, Bob.
I'm an idiot.
When you know you're going to get burned, you start talking loud and over somebody. So here it comes, Joe. You're going to get burned.
I'm an idiot.
Next time we take Bob to the strip club, we'll say we're going to go see a bunch of kids.
It's the Idiots Podcast. If you're looking for a place to make you feel better about your life, you've come to the right place.
The text message said 2P.
Right.
What the frick is 2P?
Now, here's the three idiots. Steve, Bob, Kevin, and Joe.
People want to hear about people losing weight.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Idiots Podcast, a podcast about anything, everything, and nothing at the same time. It's a true miracle. We simply go where the tangent winds take us. I am the premier idiot, Steve, also known as Conspiracy Steve, and this is episode 51. So welcome, everyone. We've got a special guest in the house we're going to be getting to shortly. But before we do, we got to introduce who else is here. And we also have... Bob, the man on a mission.
I was wondering what that was for.
Bob, you have an assignment. You're welcome to take it if you wish. This will self-destruct and... 5 seconds.
Let's hear it.
That's it.
Oh. You have to give the assignment, Steve. You've kind of lost the plot.
The assignment is just stick around for half an hour and talk about nothing.
Goodness.
All right, also have
something I'm not well informed about. Great.
Italian Joe.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Mr. Italian Joe. How are you?
I'm doing, Steve.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Nice to have you. And we also have a doctor in the house. He's making a house call. Dr. Melendy from the University of Buffalo. We'll get to a little bit more of your background there in just a little bit. But before we go there, I need to ask, we'll ask Doctor. Doctor, do you know what time it is now?
7:05.
It's very close. It is. It's time for news headlines. And what we do now is we kind of go around the horn and see if we've got some good stories that we can talk about. We're going to keep it kind of short because we got a really great discussion with the doctor here in just a moment. And that's what I really want to get to. But before we do that, let's go around. Joey had a really good story I want to hear about.
Yeah, this is kind of up Bob's alley, Mr. Crypto Bob over there. And this is local to us, Seneca Lake, which is in the Finger Lakes, which is in the middle of the state. I guess is heating up because of Bitcoin. There's a gas powered
and literally
plant there.
Bitcoin's heating up, but literally heating up.
Yep. There's a gas powered power plant. I want to say there that is heating, that is producing electricity for the area. And I guess there's some Bitcoin mining going on in the area.
It's in the plant itself. They repurposed those old plants to use as Bitcoin mining companies. So they're producing their own power. So that's why they're buying up these old plants.
So they're heating up the lake and it's killing some of the wildlife. But I guess what are they using? 139 million gallons of water. They're intaking and they're outputting 135 million gallons of water daily.
Mm.
So the water comes in, heats up, shoots back out in the lake, and the residents are now have a natural hot tub.
Wow.
With no fish.
Yeah, what's strange is even major data centers do that. They consume water, even the ones built in like Arizona and the desert, they consume fresh water. They don't like repurpose and just have that water circulating through like a vehicle would. So more and more data centers are trying to move to that, but it's surprising how much they use.
They should use the antifreeze.
What you would think, right? But they actually, they bring in fresh water, even in those data centers out in places like Arizona.
See, doctor, do you see how this works? Like Joe or myself or Kevin, one of our other hosts, they'll come up with a story that we kind of know a little bit about, and then Bob just takes over.
Yep.
You see, I wouldn't want to have a whole lot of antifreeze floating around. I mean, that ethylene glycol is toxic.
Yeah. Buy some stock in Prestone.
Just go geothermal.
Doctor, do you have any Bitcoin or any cryptocurrency?
I don't have any cryptocurrency. It kind of looks like gambling, and that's, I've gambled on occasion, but it doesn't really do much for me. So I'm like, you know, you buy low, you sell high, but if you screw up, you buy low and sell lower.
True. Yeah. We could
fake money.
Would you figured out Steve's investment thesis?
Oh my gosh. You have no idea. It's terrible. I do have 40 million SafeMoon coins though, doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got 42.
I think it's worth $100 right now.
Yeah.
All right. Very, very good. I like that a lot. Bob, what do you have?
Well, since we're going to keep it short and sweet, I could talk about the tower in Miami, the fire in the Gulf of Mexico, which is out now, Joe said. But Donald Trump is suing Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We can keep it short.
Let's keep it short, Bob.
No, it
let's
will.
See what we I can.
Just putting it out there. He filed suit today for kicking him off their platforms, violating his First Amendment right. Mm-hmm. Wants to repeal Section 230. What do you guys think? Do they have the right to boot someone off their platform?
Yep. They're a private company. Yep.
Yeah. Right.
But my whole thing is, if lots of people are celebrating, they don't like Donald Trump. I get it. But then if, one of the opposition's heroes gets booted off of a platform, would that opposition's base be upset, right? It's kind of like, it's good for the goose, good for the gander. If suddenly, somehow, some way, these platforms became conservative, which of course they never would, but they took over and started booting people that had left-leaning views off, with the left, which the left would have to say, well, it is a private company, so we got to just accept it. Or would they say, hey, this isn't fair? Go ahead, doctor.
What about the people who didn't want to make a cake, who had a private company and didn't want to make a cake for a gay wedding?
Right. There you go. Exactly. That's exactly right. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander. It should be both. And
Didn't they win that right at the end of the day?
No.
What's that?
They lost when it reached Supreme Court?
Yeah. Oh, they did. Huh. I thought they won. Or did they win?
That makes no sense.
Oh,
I don't want to make a cake for somebody.
I mean, as a private company, you should be able to refuse any business you don't want.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. They're the ones that won. The company, because it was the bakery that filed suit, and they're the ones that ultimately won. And
the bakery won.
That's what
bakery.
I meant. Okay. The bakery won. Yeah. Right. Yeah. The bakery won. That's what I thought. Right. Because at the end of the day, it's private business. They have the right to do it. Maybe they built the platform, Facebook, Yahoo, whatever, to not allow a right wing view or a left wing view.
And that's a perfect example. Like, the people that were upset with that bakery, right, now is celebrating the fact that a private company was able to discriminate against somebody. That's the accusation. So
people don't understand that rights are limited, but they're limited to you, and you only get your rights as long as they don't trump somebody else's rights.
Right.
Cause harm. I think cause harm is what they lean back
on. That's probably a better word. Yeah. So they cause harm to somebody else's rights, then that's the problem. And if you have people living together, then sometimes what you think is your right is going to come into conflict with somebody else's right to life, liberty, and happiness.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, I've got a couple myself. Let me move on to them. Let's see. I've got to do my little sound effect here. There it is. All right. The Duchess of Cambridge is having to self-isolate for 10 days after coming in contact with somebody who had tested positive for COVID. Now, she had been vaccinated, and yet she apparently was in contact with somebody who had COVID-19, and as a result, she has to isolate. I think that's another part of this whole thing that's confusing is, you're vaccinated, you come into contact with somebody, they tell you that, you're now at risk, and it's like, well, why am I at risk?
Does a condom always work?
What's that, right? Kind of that, I guess.
It's not 100%.
It isn't 100%, right? So, but, which we'll get into a discussion with, is like, well, now that there's risks of everything and anything at any time, what can we do? What should we do to mitigate the risks? You know, maybe we should all just all isolate, because we probably have been in contact with somebody with COVID. So let's be very, very careful and everybody just stay home. So that's...
Doesn't the Duchess have small children?
What's that?
The Duchess has small children, right? Who was it you said had to self-isolate?
The Duchess of Cambridge.
Right. Doesn't she have small children?
There's a good chance. I'm not exactly sure.
I'm not sure. One possibility is, and I've spoken to a few people, if they have small children, they are following much more closely, because those children have not been able to be vaccinated yet.
Okay.
So even though they've got a low, if you've been vaccinated, you've got a low risk of carrying it to a dangerous level to yourself, there's the potential that you could, in asymptomatic infection, transmit it to a young child who hasn't been vaccinated.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well, that makes sense. All right. People and
elderly or young children are being more careful.
All right. Very good. That's going to be part of our discussion. And finally, for me, the U.S. Centers of Disease Control is investigating the death of a 13-year-old boy who died in his sleep 3 days after getting a second dose of COVID-19 vaccine. They're not exactly sure if they were related, but he complained of common post-vaccine symptoms, including a fever, and he had a stomach ache. And unfortunately, 2-3 days later, he died. He went to sleep and then just actually never even woke up. So, you know, the family is obviously upset, and they're believing it very well could be part of the complications from the vaccine, which is where we're going to go to now. But before we do, like, Bob was interested in why we were having this discussion to begin with. And the reason why is because of, we have a special segment on this show. It's called the Bobby Rewind. And so I want to just play it real quick. This is from a show or two ago. Let's see why.
Wait, what is this called? The Bobby Rewind?
Oh my God.
It's the Bobby
this
Rewind.
This is a new one.
You are painful.
So here we go. This is what Bob said on a recent show.
I don't think, like, Conspiracy Steve will probably tell you it was intentional, but I think it could be just as likely, probably more likely, that it came out of the lab accidentally. And of course, they want to cover it up. I honestly don't know. I don't care much about this story. You are so influenced by what your sister says. It's not even funny.
Oh, you do about that. Okay. So my sister listens to the show, Doctor, and she says, how could Bob not care about this story? It, like, has the entire world has been turned upside down by this COVID-19 thing, right? Whether or not it came from the lab is not of interest to him. I mean, and I told her, I said, listen, he may not care, but I was kind of interesting that I missed that. I'm like, wow. So let me ask you, Bob, you really don't care about the story?
Whether it came out of the lab or not? Not in that moment in time. Definitely not. It's going to eventually come out. I don't need to know in advance. It doesn't affect what I do.
No.
Right now.
No, I mean, how does it? Does it?
How does it not affect what you do? Have you had to wear a mask at all into stores?
And whether it came out of a lab or is intentional, does that affect what I do?
Oh, sure. I mean, I would think it could, yeah.
How?
I don't know. It could.
Sam's going to be thrilled with that response.
You want specifics? You know, what if it came out of a lab? What if it's an attack, right? Like, what if it turns out that it was let out of the lab on purpose? Wouldn't you want, like, countries around the world to somehow, some way prevent that from happening again?
It's eventually going to come out. That's my point there. It's eventually going to come out. Why do I need to know now? It's going to come out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not saying I don't care about the entire global.
You sure did care about a lot of things that Donald Trump did that you had no control over.
I care about the Britney Spears trust story too, Steve.
That's true too. Okay, well, let's get going. One of the biggest topics of discussion we've had on this podcast, as you can tell, is COVID-19, for the mandates, masks, the vaccine. I've been called Conspiracy Steve because I questioned some of the information provided by government agencies, the CDC, you know, other officials, doctors, even Dr. Melendi. I'll probably have some questions for him. And I will be the first to admit that, like I said in the beginning of every episode, I am the premier idiot. So I am truly, you know, uneducated in a lot of this stuff. And that is why we've invited an expert in the field of virology to help us. understand a little bit more about COVID-19, the vaccine. If he has information, I'm sure he knows a little bit more about the vaccine than we do and everything else that comes with the pandemic. And it is Dr. Thomas Melendi, as you can see on the screen there. And he was gracious enough to accept this invitation to a podcast called The Idiots Podcast. So we like him already. And I'm kind of wondering if he's like sitting there like, oh boy, what have I got myself into? But Dr. Melendi is an associate professor of microbiology and immunology and biochemistry at the University of Buffalo. He specializes in DNA replication, recombination and repair, genome integrity. I didn't know genomes could have integrity, but I guess that's good to know that they do have integrity. Infectious diseases, microbiology. I'm not even going to say the rest of it. It's too much. In other words, Dr. Melendi is very, very smart, and he's smarter than me. Welcome to the show, Dr. Melendi.
Thanks very much, Steve. It's always nice to be in the company of idiots. I usually find myself in the best of times.
Oh, good. I appreciate that very much. We know you're very busy, so it's definitely awesome to have you on. All right. Well, let's kind of start a little bit from the beginning, an overview. If you can tell us in about 2 minutes, if that's possible, what the heck happened with this COVID-19 back in 2019? What do you know about it up to this point?
Okay. COVID-19 is a new variant of coronaviruses. And we've had coronaviruses around for a long time. There are three or four of them that circulate routinely in our population and give us the common cold. And there was this small mutation that you wouldn't have predicted that would have had a big effect. What it essentially did is it altered the major binding protein on the outside of that virus. You've probably heard of it. It's called the spike protein. It's what these vaccines are made against. And it altered it so that it had, we didn't know this would happen, but it has a much higher affinity for a protein that we have in our bodies called the ACE2 receptor. And the ACE2 receptor is on lots of cells, but happens to be present at a high level on our blood vessels. And it turns out this virus, instead of being like other cold viruses and even flu viruses, didn't affect just our respiratory tract and our lungs, but it actually started getting into the bloodstream. And unlike other coronaviruses, it spreads through the bloodstream and it infects your blood epithelium. Like if you know, I don't know if you remember back in New York when they were first talking about it, they said these funny pebble-like x-rays that they were getting. Mm-hmm. Instead of having just inflamed tissue in lungs, what they were getting were these small micro blood clots caused by viral infection of the bloodstream. And that's why this virus has effects on the kidney, has effects on the heart, can trigger heart attacks, has in some cases triggered blood clots. A lot of people are getting this prolonged brain fog, and there is some suspicion that in some of these patients that have this long-term COVID, what they have is lots of little tiny micro blood clots. So have inactivated the brain, but not a big piece that affects, you know, overt function like a stroke, but it affects lots of the function through the brain. So it affects lots of the body in horrible ways that other coronaviruses and even flu viruses never have.
I want to ask a couple more questions, then I want to get to the part of it that Bob's going to roll his eyes. They call me Conspiracy Steve. So I've got some things that I want to kind of run by you. But before I do that, I want to ask you about the Delta variant. What is this going to be?
RNA viruses remind me a lot of cancers in that they have genomic instability. In other words, they have a high rate of changes in their genome, mutations that are occurring. Most of them are deleterious, and those viruses aren't successful and disappear. Every once in a while, there's a little change in a virus which gives it a selective advantage, or at least no disadvantage. And those changes will continue to be propagated through the population. So the more we have the virus infecting more people, the more chance of individual variants popping up. Mm. And when you have hundreds of millions of people who have been infected, and every infection has chances for lots of mutations to occur, once in a while, you're going to have one that might actually make the virus a more effective virus. And what the Delta variant is, it has three or four mutations in it, which together made this virus a much more infectious version than the original COVID-19 that cropped up.
Yeah.
So essentially the virus is carrying out short-term adaptation to infect humans more effectively.
Yeah. Short-term ways of controlling the populace to do what they want you to do.
the virus and wants to do things. That's a little bit anthropomorphic.
Yeah.
Come on, Steve. Virus. Oh, that's gosh. Much.
All right. Well, this is where
I think he's. He I think he's implying.
Steve.
I think he's implying that there is no such thing as a Delta variant.
No, I. Are you? This no. is where. Okay, doctor. Listen, we have been through the ringer.
It's a very close friend of mine that does the sequencing of the coronaviruses that we find in Erie County.
Okay.
I've worked with her for years. I helped recruit her here.
Actually. Okay. And that's why I have you on, because you're going to set me straight.
And the Delta variant, she has found at least one person with that Delta variant, with those mutations.
Okay.
In Erie County, probably came from outside, hasn't been widely spread in the county yet. But the sequencing always lags by a couple of weeks. And I don't know if you know, if you looked at the case count in Erie County, it really plateaued out 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It's kind of up again.
Okay.
And
who is that person?
Who is that person? It was down to about less than 10 a day. Now it's up to like 25 right. a day, pretty consistent.
We have been through the ringer. I mean, it's just been like with my kids and the school and the masks, and they're wearing masks to school, and I don't need to tell you, right? I mean, I am all about doing whatever it is that we got to do if it means that we're going to really be doing something that's going to benefit, you know, everyone, right?
Delta variant is more infectious. I mean, UK started vaccinating before we did.
Mm-hmm.
The vaccine probably isn't quite as good as the Pfizer Moderna, the AZ, but it's reasonably good. It's very similar to J&J vaccine, actually.
Okay.
And their vaccination rate was getting pretty high, 40 or 50, and I think cases were starting to go down, and they were feeling pretty good. And that Delta variant rolled through, and their numbers have gone up a lot.
Okay.
And they're learning to deal with that. Russia itself, again, their vaccine uptake wasn't great, although they were one of the first with a vaccine out. Their numbers had gone down a lot. And right now they're dealing with the most cases per day and most deaths per day that they've ever had throughout the whole case.
Okay. Are any of the vaccines showing any effectiveness against the Delta variant?
Yes. If you look in a population, you find that some people who get the vaccine, a higher percentage of people will get the Delta variant than would before were getting the non-Delta type variant COVID-19. The people with the vaccination, they still have a lower risk of becoming asymptomatic carriers, and they still have a very low risk of getting symptomatic version of the infection. And those numbers vary depending on the vaccine. The two-dose vaccines like AstraZeneca and Moderna seem to be pretty good against that. And that second dose is really critical. After the first dose, you only have about 30% protection against the Delta variant. But after the second one, it goes up, you know, closer to the 90%, which is similar to what it was against the original. But those that are single-dose vaccines aren't working as they're somewhere in between.
All right, let's get into the vaccines and kind of some of the bigger pictures and the juicier parts of the conversation that, you know,
the
please just humor me.
Okay.
First of all, with your background, your expertise, your place in the world, outside the lab, things that you see going on every day, I don't doubt that in one way or another in your lifetime, you've been suspicious of people in government or, you know, different areas of life, right? From everything that you've seen in the world and things that are going on and the things you've heard and Fauci and the masks and everything, have you ever said to yourself, I wonder if there's more going on here than just the science?
At some level, sure. I mean, people in science, particularly that are the public facing parts of science, are influenced by their government leaders and people who employ them to some degree. And I think some of the mixed messages that came out of the CDC early on, particularly among other places, were incorrect or poorly advised.
But don't wear masks just so they could keep the supply for the front line. Was that was a bad one.
It's okay if they make mistakes.
I agree. That was a bad one. But another part of this problem is they didn't, I have to say that, the research on what aerosol particles are and how important they are for carrying respiratory viruses had been very poorly done. And I saw some of the earlier things that were coming out, people were saying, and I'm like, I'm not even a respiratory virologist, and I know that's not right.
Okay. Now, if they make a mistake, that's fine. Do you ever suspect that perhaps they're doing it for an agenda?
Well, Bob's point is well taken, that they may have been suppressing mask N95 mask use by the general population to save it for healthcare workers. When in fact, N95 mask use was chosen because it's got some of the smallest pore size out there. And everyone's like, you've got to be able to trap a virus particle. And it's like, you don't have to be able to trap a virus particle. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to trap respiratory particles or cut down on respiratory particles. And the idea that a lot of people had of is once you got a virus particle, it's like, oh, you had the disease. That's not true either. You need lots of virus particles in order to get an infection, an active infection. Okay. One virus particle doesn't do it. It's a numbers game. And you have to improve that numbers game in various ways. And so cloth masks would help. And there wasn't an appreciation for that by the people who were making the rules at that time, mm-hmm. whether they were government influenced or whether they were influenced by scientific administrators who are too far removed from the science bench, I don't know. But there were some bad decisions that were made for some of the earliest suggestions. I think we've gotten past most of that now. Now, I think at this point in time, what we're really hearing is raw science. And I think part of the reason is so many of us have been able to study it now. And it's like, to have a centralized conspiracy theory, you kind of have to, an effective conspiracy theory, as you must know, Steve, is you have to have a limited number of people really understanding what's going on, right? You have to be able to control the sound that's coming out that describes the conspiracy.
Right. Unless the conspiracy isn't necessarily a well-plotted conspiracy, but more of a natural, organic movement towards a specific goal that no one actually has identified. And that's what I want to get into now. I love this topic. I watch documentaries on the Spanish flu. And as you know, Doctor, that was bad. Back in 1918, by 1919, I mean, everybody knew somebody that died. I mean, it was just inevitable. This particular virus, we all have stories. We all know somebody that has died, but it hasn't been quite as, not even close to what the Spanish flu was. And yet the reaction to it is about the same, I think. And a little quiz for Bob and Joe, and Doctor, you probably already know, so you'll just have to skip this quiz here. Bob and Joe, do you know how many people have died in Erie County from COVID? Joe? Since it started.
We'll say 15,000.
Okay. Bob?
Pure guess, 500.
Bob's closer. So okay. 1,800 people as of now on the official website have died from COVID in Erie County. And I'm going to assume that probably 1,400 of them have been 50 years or older. Now, when it comes to someone like me, who's trying to do everything that I'm supposed to do when it comes to COVID and considering whether or not to get the vaccine, I try to consider these numbers, and I don't find that as alarming as I feel like I'm being led to believe that it is. Doctor, where am I wrong here?
I think the number's not quite as skewed as you think it is.
Okay.
I think you're also ignoring the people who have long-term serious health effects from these infections.
Sure.
My neighbor across the street was the miracle man who was in his late 40s, early 50s, maybe at best.
Okay.
He was intubated for like 2 months at the outset. Mm-hmm. They thought he was going to die 3 times. He had no comorbidity issues. And with the Delta variant, we are having more and more younger people being hospitalized.
Okay.
In addition to it spreading better, it spreads better in the body. Mm-hmm. So instead of usually the hospitalization, the time between infection and hospitalization for the initial COVID-19 was about 8 to 10 days. Mm-hmm. The Delta variant is often 3 to 4 days. And it's more effective in spreading in children, and a lot more children are getting hospitalized.
All right. Go ahead. And that I'm being told that by a doctor, and I'm like, okay, that's what the doctor is saying. But then I try to line it up with what I'm seeing, and it you know, although what do I see?
Watch his InfoWars.
I'm in my basement. What do I see? Right. But I just go by experiences like in talking to people, and I don't see what I'm being told. And I think I'm an average person. And that's kind of where you'll get the hesitancy to get the vaccine or the aggravation of wearing masks, et cetera.
Well, Steve, I have a question for you. On there, did it say how many people died of the flu, the normal flu?
Well,
the comparer. Because is 1,800 a lot? I don't know. What do you compare it against?
I would imagine 1,800 is a lot. And I'm not saying that there is no COVID-19 virus. I know for a fact that there's a very serious virus. It's probably 10 times worse than the regular flu. But whether it requires basically at one point the world shutting down is where I think people like me are kind of like a little skeptical. That's why I have Dr. Melon Dion. let me show you something else that makes me skeptical. And this is something that I saw early on. I'm going to share my screen. And, you know, Doctor, I'm going to play this for you. And then you tell me what someone like me should think after hearing something like this. This is very early in the stage of COVID-19, I think within 2-3 months of it all starting. Can you see the screen?
I can see it.
Okay, so let's listen to this official, and Dr. Melanie probably will even recognize her. Let's hear what she has to say, and then we'll talk about what she says.
Of the definition of people dying of COVID. So the case definition is very simplistic. It means at the time of death, it was a COVID positive diagnosis. So that means that if you were in hospice and had already been given, you know, a few weeks to live, and then you also were found to have COVID, that would be counted as a COVID death. It means that if technically, even if you died of a clear alternate cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. So everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that was the cause of the death, but they had COVID at the time of death. I hope that's helpful.
So someone like me will see that and say, well, okay, what am I supposed to believe? Has 600,000 people in America died from COVID-19? Or is it, I mean, not that it's a small number, but it's 300,000 people died. Or is it even more than 600,000 people? You see information like that and like, hello?
How many people who passed away from a heart attack or a stroke that might have been triggered by that clotting disorder caused by this virus, and they had never been diagnosed.
Right.
But they because it was an asymptomatic otherwise, but they ended up dying from stroke or even a brain hemorrhage caused by this virus. So you got that possibility as well.
Right.
The fact is, if you look at pandemics in general, they always undercount.
Okay.
At least that is how public health, because what they end up doing is, if you look at the trends of all different types of ways people die, and you take the big picture and look at it over years and you follow the pattern, the way they really finally determine what the death rate was, the way they determined the 50 million death rate for the Spanish flu, was they looked at the overall death rates over time and said all of these must have been due primarily to the flu, virtual.
So that's that excess death numbers that's always referenced. Is that right?
Death number, exactly. And part of the problems, you know, and they were trying to get a better estimate, a better real-time estimate. And yeah, I mean, what that woman said, maybe some people were doing that, but you don't know if those people were, even if they had been diagnosed with something else and then they ended up dying with COVID. Did they die early because of COVID?
So I have watched my conspiracy videos. I have my take on the vaccine. The vaccine itself, the whole environment, the culture about it, the crusade, everything gives me this really uneasy feeling. And I think a lot of people do, because there are so many things about this vaccine that seem to be almost cultish. Okay, it's gone to a cultish stage, and you are saying that you're good with the vaccine. Obviously, they're not.
I was actually hesitant until sort of November, December. And then I started seeing the data coming out in the clinical trials.
Okay.
And then like roll up my sleeve, give me that thing as soon as I can sign up and get it.
Okay.
But at the outset, I was hesitant because things were rolling out so quickly compared to usual.
Okay. I have spent, you know, some time. I mean, I can only hear somebody's presentation or take on a subject and kind of glean from it what I can. That's one reason why we have, you know, you here, and then I also hear other doctors, and I'm going to share something in a second, but as a result of listening, stop laughing, Bob, it's not InfoWars.
No, I'm sorry, Ricky Bobby. I don't know what to do with my hands.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Joe pointed out.
I get like go like this. I'm like, so I've been, you know, learning about the virus, you know. Sorry. We had a guest on. I was sitting there like this while she was talking. And she goes, I'm sorry, do you have a question? And I'm like, oh, no. Okay.
Steve was just going like this.
All right. Yeah, I was going. All right. And I've learned about the spike, you know, I've learned somewhat about the spike protein and lipids and the delivery system of the vaccine. And you probably know of this particular video I'm going to show. I'm going to share it. I want to play it. It's like a couple minutes long, but I want to talk about it. I want to find out what you know about. I know you said you're not, you know, that's not your expertise. It's necessarily the vaccine, but you're going to know a lot more about it than, you know, anybody I'm going to talk to. So these are, you know, I think three prominent people that are talking about the vaccine and concerns they have. And then, you know, let's watch it and then we'll talk about it.
On this. And then I had been on this Canadian physician's call with Dr. Byron Brittle. And he showed this chart. And he said, normally when you vaccinate someone, the vaccine goes in the shoulder and it stays in the shoulder, in the shoulder area. And what happens is the antibodies are generated and they attack the this antigen in the shoulder and it wipes it out and we're good. But what Byron Brittle did is he did a FOIA request to the Japanese government to look at the biodistribution data. And what he discovered is that it doesn't stay in the shoulder where we all thought it should stay. It goes throughout your entire body. It goes to your brain, to your heart.
So that's two problems. One problem is it isn't where it's supposed to be, ideally.
Where we thought it was, where we thought it was for all the
and the other
previous vaccines.
The other problem, and this is your area of expertise, is that what these vaccines do is they encode spike protein alone so that the immune system will learn to recognize spike protein and will catch it quickly when one is confronted with COVID. But the spike protein itself, we now know, is very dangerous. It's cytotoxic. Is that a fair description?
More than fair, and I alerted the FDA about this risk months and months and months ago. And
so
we had a discussion about it.
And to be fair, the FDA did not think that the S1 subunit and the spike protein was toxic. And so they knew, the FDA knew about the biodistribution. And one of the scary things is that the biodistribution like peaks in your ovaries. And
so just to nail the point home, they did know.
They did know.
I did send them the manuscripts. So and their determination was
it's a harmless spike protein.
That they didn't think that was sufficient documentation of the risk that spike was biologically active.
Right.
Okay. So that last gentleman speaking there is Dr. Robert Malone, and his apparent expertise is mRNA. And he is, I guess, the primary researcher for mRNA. Doctor, have you seen or heard anything about that particular panel? Anything?
He is certainly not the mRNA inventor.
Okay.
I don't know this person. I know a lot about mRNA. I actually was educated at a place called the Cradle of Molecular Biology.
Okay.
This is an elderly gentleman. Apparently, he was involved in some of the first studies of transfecting mRNA.
Okay.
He's quite old. Okay. Anyway, I just did a quick look up on him.
Okay.
We'll find out more about him. But what he's saying concerns me for several reasons. First of all, he was talking about doing experiments and seeing where mRNA goes, spike protein goes, and where it goes to ovaries or whatever. But how was he introducing it? He was certainly not introducing it via the vaccine. So the question is, was he just transfecting into a body? Do the ovaries just, the ovary cells just tend to pick up RNA more easily? Mm-hmm. These are all worthwhile questions. If it exhibits some cytotoxicity, lots of things are toxic at a certain level, right? You can drink enough water and kill yourself. So the question is, what level of spike protein is toxic? And what's really important too is you're being injected with a very small amount of stuff. Have you seen the size of those vaccines? These can't reproduce and go to other cells. Once they fuse into one cell, even if some of those cells ultimately end up dying, they've been done their job of presenting that spike protein on their surface and stimulating the immune system against it. So I'm not worried about it being toxic and then toxic to the whole body. It might kill off a few cells, but we have a few cells dying off. We have hundreds of thousands of cells dying off every day of our life, right? Okay. We turn over cells all the time.
Okay.
So many of the things that they're talking about don't sound like concerns to me. And some of the things they're stating are out of context.
Okay. Let me ask this question then, with the information still evolving.
Yep.
Obviously the long-term studies can't be done. Is it okay for someone like me to be hesitant in getting the vaccine?
Depends on if you want this pandemic to come to an end or not.
So it's on all unvaccinated people to get vaccinated to end the pandemic, even though there is a chance that it could cause problems down the line.
Look, how many things do we know of that are absolutely risk-free? We do know the risk of you getting COVID-19 and dying from it mm-hmm. within a short time frame is much, much higher, thousands of times higher than the risk of you being vaccinated and dying in that same time okay. frame.
What if right? I just want to be risky and just, you know, I'm just, I just like to live, live it dangerously and I just don't want to get the vaccine. Is that okay if I take my life into my own hands on that matter?
Well, that goes back to our issues that we were talking about earlier, personal rights, right? Where do your personal rights affect somebody else's rights? An interesting question. I used to teach a class on vaccines to undergraduates, and I told them, okay, so we know that measles is one of the most infectious viruses known to mankind. It's even more infectious than COVID-19. And we have a really good vaccine for it, the MMR. But in certain places, people are resisting taking the MMR vaccine. Thank you, Dr. Wakefield, you idiot. He's a bigger idiot than anybody here.
I'm not so sure, but thank you.
And he was caught for being a liar and a cheat and actually trying to make millions of dollars by fooling people. But anyway, so the MMR vaccine, there are certain places where people are choosing not to get them. Often white collar, upper middle class enclaves. But an interesting question is, if you now have your child that doesn't get vaccinated, they happen to travel to some country, particularly ones where some third world countries, the vaccines are still not prevalent. If they bring that disease back and give it to and unintentionally spread it to a child in their class who might be immunocompromised, or for whom, for some reason, the vaccine didn't take. The measles vaccine is about 99%, mm-hmm. but Bob's right, it's not 100%. One can get through, and if the one person is not protected and they get really sick, really ill, and or die, is that mother at fault for not having her child vaccinated?
Okay. How about the...
As we trace where it goes, should she be able to be sued? Should she be charged for manslaughter?
Right.
She, by not doing something simple that is advocated in some cases, in some schools, you have to get it. If she lied or fudged or something and got her kid in and made some other kid really sick or dead, should she be liable? What do you think?
Well, that I can answer with this question. Wouldn't that lap over into many, many areas of our life? How about driving a car?
We're talking about this right now. I think she went about it fraudulently. No. I'm just going to answer his question. So you moved on.
Huh?
if she went about it fraudulently and defrauded the university to get a child in and then something happened, I think she bears some responsibility there. Certainly. If they just did it, said, I am against vaccines, I'm going to take it in my own hands and end it, I think that's a different story. But
then it might become an issue. They might try to, you know, their complaint might be with the local government or whoever regulates whether or not that vaccine is required.
Well, I still think it comes down to question whether you can mandate someone to get a vaccine or not.
I want to reply to the question you brought up. You were starting to say, what about car insurance? Comprehensive and collision car insurance is not required, is it? In virtually every state in the union, some form of liability, either insurance, I think three states, you can pay a fee to the state and they actually insure you, or you can put money in an account, essentially. But essentially every state in the union, if you operate a vehicle, you have to have liability insurance. Mm-hmm. The problem is they don't mind if you're affecting yourself. Mm-hmm. They don't care about collision and comprehensive. That is your choice. But when you're actually endangering other people, in this case, just by driving a car, you're mandated to get it.
But you could have an accident without necessarily, but does the insurance or no insurance, you could go out and drive a car and kill somebody. And as a result, you affected somebody else's life by driving a car. So that's kind of like what you're saying when it comes to somebody, whether they don't get it vaccinated, the person can park the car in the garage and not go out. And that will reduce the risks of people being affected. And that's kind of like what is being told of people that don't vaccinate. Well, you could affect somebody. There is a 0.00006 chance that you could infect somebody in some foreign country that doesn't get the vaccination. So you need to get vaccinated. And that, to me, is overbearing and kind of is counterintuitive to a free society. That's my point.
Do you have to pay for liability insurance for your car?
Well, the vaccine, though, I like personally, it's too new. Like the measles vaccine's been out for God knows how long.
Right.
50 years, 60 years, however long it's been out. I don't even know. 100 years? I don't even know. But
it was 100 years.
but it's proven. That's the thing. It's proven. So what's going to happen in a year? What's going to happen in 5 years?
Well, that's kind of my point. And that's my question about the mentality. I'm sorry to interrupt, Joe, but I want to get this to point out is that if 3-4 years down the line, these young women are saying, I can't have children. You know, this vaccine affected
me. Defects,
are the people that push these vaccines going to say, well, sorry, you know, we didn't know, but we had to get this vaccine going into the system, into the pipeline. I am with Joe. I think it's just kind of like, let's back off a little bit. Stop giving away the free beer to get people vaccinated. Let's just let this play out a little bit with a little bit more prudence before we start these campaigns. I was going to play a clip. I don't need to play it. Joe Biden said they're going to go door to door, knocking on everybody's door to try to get people to get vaccinated.
I understand your point, Joe, about, you know, these other vaccines are proven. But don't forget, these other vaccines were also rolled out with huge fanfare. School children were lined up to get shots for polio back in the day because it was such a problem. When that big vaccine became available, they just lined them up and shot it into all of them. And no one was squealing. No one that I was aware of, or I never heard about very significant stories about this, about people squealing about their rights. There might have been a few, but they all recognized it was a risk and they wanted to get rid of that risk. Did they have years and years of testing? No, they had some testing, maybe a little bit more than this one, but they didn't have years of testing before they rolled out.
But don't we have a right to say, wait a minute, let me see what happens? It's just like when you go to buy, like, just say, here's an example of a car. I'm going to go buy a new car. This is the brand new model that just came out. I don't buy a brand new model because I know the brand new model is going to have issues. I'll wait 3-4 years, then I'll buy the model. Kind of the same thing with this. Let me wait a little bit to see, because I don't want anything to happen to me in the future that, first of all, how did I get this? Now, do I live a clean life? I don't smoke. I drink I drink occasionally. Do I eat the best? Am I a little overweight? Yes. I think I'm fairly healthy. But as far as now, if I get something, all of a sudden, okay, now I'm having, I'm having stomach issues. I'm having muscle issues. I'm having respiratory issues. In 10 years from now, who am I going to and it's from this vaccine because I was pressured into taking it. I'd be pissed.
But Joe, see, it's the whole point is it's not about you. It's about saving the people around you.
Right.
So you have to get the vaccine to save
the people around me,
community.
I don't care.
But you're supposed to care, and you're going to be, it's going to be mandated that you care.
Yeah. Well, I don't, the people around me, yeah, I don't, I care about me and the family around me. Everybody else, okay, that's fine.
Doctor,
am I selfish about it? Yeah, maybe, but that's just my mentality. I don't want to be forced to take something that I don't know.
Doctor, do you compare the COVID-19 virus to polio?
It's actually worse than polio.
It's worse than polio. How is it worse than polio?
It spreads much more efficaciously.
Okay. The spread is worse.
And the spread is worse. And polio also often had many people that had asymptomatic infections as well. And then again, some people had issues with appendages, loss of function. And only in the really very bad cases do people lose lung function and have to be in iron lungs.
Yeah, I saw a special on that. It was absolutely, fascinating. It was riveting. It was just amazing. I didn't know a lot of things about all.
In order to get pictures of rooms full of that, of those people, you still had to go to places like Los Angeles where there were huge populations. Mm-hmm. There weren't a lot of patients. So polio was providing less patients that were having to have ventilator care than what we're having now for COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's another point though, because when polio was being spread, the population wasn't as big and we weren't as condensed as we are now.
Surprisingly enough, the population's only changed about twofold over the last hundred years. It's not as dramatic as people think it is for people.
Okay.
I know people are having, I want to say, an allergic reaction to it. There's my wife works in medical field and she works for, she deals with enhancing agents for your heart where you get scanned. And their competition, it's having PEG? The PEG protein, something with petroleum, and people are dying from because the PEG is introduced into their body. And if they have the product that's being used has PEG in it, and people are actually dying because of allergic reaction to it.
Mm. There are always a small number of people that are going to be allergic to anything.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you know, some people are deathly allergic to bee venom, and some people are deathly allergic to something
right.
else.
Right. But it sucks for that person because they had no idea.
Yeah, there's people die from, allergies to peanuts. You don't just tell everybody they can't eat peanuts. You tell the people that are allergic to peanuts to stay away from peanuts.
Yeah, right. But that's the whole part of saying is it's kind of an active experiment.
Tell me what you think of this, doctor.
Jennifer Gibson says she got the COVID vaccine because she wanted to see life in Canada get back to normal. But the Toronto woman wasn't prepared for what she saw when she looked in the mirror 2 weeks after getting her AstraZeneca shot.
In the morning, I was just looking and I thought, gosh, something is weird with my face. And I thought, whatever, I slept funny, no big deal. And by the end of the day, my husband, even I was asking him, like, this is weird now. And even with kindness, he had to say, yes, it was.
A phone consult with Gibson's doctor confirmed that she had developed Bell's palsy, a form of facial paralysis.
So honestly, when they said Bell's palsy, it's, you know, devastating to look at half your face being paralyzed. But the little that I knew of Bell's palsy, I thought people don't die from that. So the fact that it wasn't something that I was going to not be around for my daughter later, you know, it's dealable. It sucks, but it's dealable.
You know, and just because she got that doesn't mean that she got it from the vaccine, right? She could have just been a coincidence that she got Bell's palsy.
Bell's palsy actually has been noted as being a side effect of vaccines. It is a weird type of allergic response. It is very rare. And 95 cases out of 100, it reverses within a few months. So she will probably get her full function back.
So that's just some of the things that just makes, people like me a little nervous.
There are rare risks. The problem is we often don't look at the numbers of these things.
Right.
Right. You look at the numbers of the people who get Bell's palsy. And again, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people that have been injected. And you're really only talking a couple of handfuls of people that have this response. If those same people get COVID-19, a lot more of them are going to die. And a lot of them are going to have long term effects. And it's really happening. And yes, I've known people who have died, and not all of them are over 50. The first person I know who died was only in his 30s.
And I appreciate that. But I'm also like a numbers guy, too. And I look at the numbers of people that die. The mortality rate is definitely like 2%, right? Yeah. And, you know, that's significant, but I'm just kind of wondering exactly how significant it is. At least, is it enough to... Let me ask you one last question, and because then I want to move on to our next segment, and it's a fun one. I hope you can stick around for it. And that is, do you think... You be quiet, Bob. I tire you a little smirk.
It's like three segments ago.
I know.
We're done.
We are done. Should people be mandated to get the vaccine?
That's a policy issue. If we don't mandate people to get the vaccine, I will tell you what will happen. If we end up having a 70% vaccination rate tops and 30% continues to get infected, these new variants like Delta and others that will occur through infecting these people, because more mutations will occur, people are going to continue to die for months and years.
So it doesn't sound like it matters if you get the vaccine or not. Because if a non-vaccinated person, can't affect a vaccinated person, then we should be fine. But it doesn't sound like that's the case.
Wait a minute. I think you misunderstood something there, and I'm not sure what it was. It's going to spread primarily amongst the unvaccinated.
Okay, well, we're fine then. We just take our chances. Right?
Darwinism at work.
Huh?
Yeah.
Darwinism, that's exactly right. And that's kind of like my point. Just like.
But the problem is more because it's spreading, even more effective mutations might arise and they might not be protected by the vaccine. So those unvaccinated may actually at some point in time cause risk for the vaccinated.
So we're going to live pretty much under the threat of viruses for the rest of my life. I'm okay with it. Whatever. Said,
you know, it's okay. We need a virus. There's too many people in this world.
And there you could make big scale arguments.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
There's too many people.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you made the point of, is it worth, you know, shutting down society for this? And the question is, if you look at GDP, it went down a bit and a lot of people did lose jobs. But, you know, what do we always say? You know, you should be able to find another job, right? Even conservatives are like, well, go get another job.
That's right.
Get another job.
Pull your bootstraps up and get out there and work.
Right. It's really tough to get another life.
Yeah, I just did a quick like Google search on Google because I when you said something about the population not growing with the polio disease and everything. In the 40s, the population, according to Google, was 132 million. As of 2019, it's 328 million.
Okay, so
it's three times. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You had, there's more people. It's you know, three times the amount of people.
You don't have to call him out, Joe.
Sorry.
He's polite enough to come on our show.
It was in my head bugging me. I'm like, there's way more people here now than there were in the 40s. We're living way too long. That's why we need a pandemic. Let's get rid of some of these people.
You got one. Doctor, thank you for discussing that with us. I do have to ask you real quick. Do you know what time it is now?
It's next segment time.
Yeah.
It's trivia time. Oh, you are going to love this. Everybody, I'm sure, is going to love this.
This has to do with
science. Quick.
Forget it. I'm done.
This is going to be the idiots, the two idiots, Joe and Bob against the doctor. This is...
Oh, gosh.
The virology quiz, the idiots versus Dr. Thomas Melendy. Bob and Joe, you get to answer the question first. And then we'll see if you're right. Basically, the doctor will tell you if you're right or wrong. And of course, the doctor, you know, he's probably got to dust up or brush off some of the dust from his years in the university. Question number one. Virus comes from a Latin word meaning what? Is it A, deadly disease, B, slimy liquid, or poison? C, infection, or D, invasion?
You think it'd be infection.
Okay, we'll go with Joe's answer.
When in doubt, see it out. That's how I answered my test in college. Made it through.
Very good.
You said infection?
Yeah.
Okay. Doctor?
I'm not really sure.
Oh.
That's fine. Some of these questions, I'm sure, are going to be a little tricky.
I would bet D.
You would bet D, invasion?
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good guess, but you're all
wrong. Slimy liquid or poison?
It was slimy liquid or poison. Question number two, true or false? Viruses are not alive. True or false? Viruses are not alive. Bob and Joe.
Bob, it's all you.
Joe, flip a coin. True.
They're not alive or they are alive?
I'm just saying true. I'm tired.
Bob says true. Doctor?
I'll take E. I've had interesting discussions about this. They don't fit the ancient criteria, the old criteria they used to have of living things.
Right.
But some of those old criteria are now outdated now that we understand what living things exist from.
Okay. Like
food pyramid.
I would argue that they, and based on comparing them to other, there are some bacteria that are intracellular, obligate intracellular parasites, just like a virus. They can't live outside of the host. I would argue they are alive while they are infecting, and that is all.
Well, you just really confused everything for me because the website I found says they are not alive.
The virus, you could make the argument that the virus particle on its own,
right,
not infecting, would not be alive. My argument is when they're in the process of infecting, they're, I would say they're alive.
Okay, I'm going to say the doctor corrected that one. Bob and Joe, you're wrong.
We're
the
both
doctor
right.
Is.
We're both right.
Yeah, everyone's right.
Yeah.
Everyone's right. Okay, true, that's fair true enough. True and false. I like that. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so it is still tied. Question number three. We'll just do a few here. In what year was the first human influenza virus isolated? A, 1919, B, 1933, C, 1950, or D, 1988, Bob and Joe?
I would just say 1919.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
A. Okay, they say 1919. Doctor?
I would guess it would be the, wait a minute. What's the last one?
1988.
88.
See, he knows medically what the word isolated means, Joe and I.
Yeah, we're guessing. Go at
alone? I don't know.
I'm only isolated when I get in an argument with my wife.
Russian flu in the late 1800s, but the virus particle wasn't isolated. Virus isolated. I would probably go...
It'll be post Second World War. I'd
probably go 19...
Something clever.
19 what?
I'd probably go 1950.
1950? Okay, you are both wrong. It is not, according to the website again, it's 1933.
Yeah. Those are the two I was deciding.
It was a pretty good website that I found. It showed to be, you know, fairly.
I can buy that. It was one of those two, and I wasn't sure which. And I don't know what their definition of isolated was. Was it purified, or was it actually an EM to look at individual virus structure?
Okay.
Define the word is.
I love the doctor. He's like, you know, you could probably, this quiz could be under protest. All right. Which of the following has yet to be offered to people who get a COVID-19 vaccine shot? Lottery tickets, beer, a chance to win airplane tickets, or a chance to win dinner with Dr.
Everything
Dr.
but
Fauci.
D has been offered. That's an funny. Easy one.
It is D. Then you guys all say D, and you guys are all right. Excellent job. Excellent
lottery
job. We're
tickets.
We're still tied, right? Yeah, we're still basically tied. Very good. Very good. Very good. All right. The next question is... Which of the following is not a real virus? A, a sneezy type A. B, a bunny of virus lacrosse, C, cowpox, or D, onyong virus. Which one is not a real virus? Bob and Joe?
E.
There's about 80 or 90 of them, or 100 or so. You said what, Joe?
B. What do you think, Bob?
D as in David?
I'd no, B as in boy.
Like, A like apple.
You're going to say A like apple?
With zero knowledge.
Okay.
Whatsoever.
Bob says A.
Yeah,
both,
Bob.
You both say A, and the answer is very good. You both got it right. Still tied. Oh, you guys goodness. Are hanging in with the.
This is the tiebreaker, right? Really. This question.
You really want to go? You really get off, huh?
I have to go to the bathroom.
We'll do a couple more.
I haven't
more.
Had dinner yet.
We'll do a couple more. All right. Which of the following is a typical symptom of Ebola virus? A, hallucinations. B, joint and muscle aches. C, loss of eyesight. D, loss of hearing.
Where's bleeding from eyes?
That's one of the many symptoms that is of Ebola.
Right. Which of the following is a typical symptom of Ebola virus? Not that
I see loss of eyesight because you got blood in them.
Yeah, that could be, but a typical symptom. A, hallucinations. B, joint and muscle aches. C, loss of eyesight. D, loss of hearing. Bob, Joe?
Pure guess, loss of hearing, pure guess.
Okay. Doctor?
Oh, B.
B, joint and muscle aches. And you are?
Which one is not like the other?
You are right, doctor. You got 1 point. We'll go to 2 points. Whoever gets 2 points first. Does that sound good, Bob? You okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. 2 points. See, he put a lot of work in these questions, Bob.
He did. I know.
We're going through all of them.
Who developed the polio vaccine? Was it
B?
Elder Sabin.
Al Gore.
Al Gore. Jonas Salk. Was it C, Dr. Fauci, or D, Al Gore?
Al Gore.
Bob says,
I'm saying Jonas Salk, B, even if it's a myth.
Okay.
And the true answer is Albert Sabin, but it's and Jonas Salk.
Doctor already knows that. So, whoops, wrong one. Very good. Okay, you both are still hanging in there. Doctor needs one more to win this trivia contest.
I'm answering these? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you got that. We already know you knew that one. Okay, and which species of bats is suspected of carrying the COVID-19 virus? Was it A, the mega bat, B, horseshoe bat, C, kitty's hog nose bat, or D, the vampiriscus bat? Bob and Joe.
All you, Joe.
I didn't know there was that many different bats.
There's a lot of them.
I think more species of bat than anything except rodent.
And that's just a rodent with wings, really, right?
Yeah, so they're all the same.
Those things.
Well, how
so
do we get them to get into our bat houses?
Those things are so disgusting.
Sorry, Joe, your answer? I don't know.
I like the kitty's hog nose bat. Okay. Like that one.
They're the most wicked-looking creatures on the planet. Doctor, do you know which bat was suspected of carrying the COVID-19 virus?
It's either the horseshoe or the hog nose.
Kitty's hog.
You might be right on the hog nose.
You're gonna see a hog nose?
That thing is nasty looking.
You both said hog nose?
Yeah.
No, it is the horseshoe band.
Horseshoe, like you said.
All right.
And
for this problem, I always have two answers. I'm not sure which one it is, and I pick wrong.
They say always go with the first one, right? When you're in school.
And my first one was the horseshoe, and then I was talked into hog nose.
By the spirits behind you, right? The little voice in your head. Okay. Approximately how many people died worldwide from the Spanish flu over 100 years ago? 5 million, 50 million, 250, or 500 million?
Well, the good doctor said 50 million earlier, and I had no clue. So I would have guessed 5 million if I was guessing.
And yes,
we know it's not 500 million because there weren't that many people. Okay. Well, that's in the U.S. I'm sorry.
Yes, he did say it earlier. And Bob, you were actually paying attention. I can't believe it.
Amazing.
I actually paid attention. Well, your energy is just zapped here, Bob.
I really do.
That's because I really don't care about the subject.
Steve, I'm trying to elicit a response from our viewers, and it worked.
Yes,
so
that's true.
Hope for more of that. Okay.
Okay. The doctor could finish it up here. Which of the following companies does not have a COVID-19 vaccine on the market? Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Moderna, or Hasbro Toys? Okay.
Oh, I would have redone this.
All right, you both got it right. Excellent.
The bigger surprise, you should have put Merck down there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I could have put
Merck.
That would have been better.
Unfortunately, I would have known that, though.
Okay. Oh, I would have known that.
My poor neighbor, some pharmacist told him about Moderna in November of 2019 to buy the stock.
All right, boys, this is where the rubber really meets
bought
the road.
It, sold it
How
right
do
away.
Viruses reproduce? A, they divide by mitosis. B, sexually by external fertilization. C, replication outside the host. Or D, inserting DNA into the host cell.
Say A.
I don't know any of this stuff.
This virus, none of them's right.
What's that?
Aha, Steve. They're all wrong. E, none of the above.
Well, that's not entirely true either.
What is the answer, Doctor?
Well, it says, how do viruses reproduce?
Yes.
Some viruses reproduce by D.
Okay.
But the COVID-19 doesn't. It doesn't make DNA at all. It's an RNA virus.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what that makes you, Doctor?
What?
You are the winner of today's.
After guessing on all of them wrong, I somehow won.
Excellent, excellent job, Doctor. More than anything, excellent job hanging with us idiots for a good hour or so. That was one of the longest ones we've ever done. But I think
it got dark in my office. Thanks.
I think it was. It is. Yes. I think it's getting dark in Bob's mind. And, you know. All right. Well, that does bring us to the end of the segment, of the end of the show. And as always, we have to end the show with one last thing. And that is, you know what it is there, Joe?
Who's today's biggest idiot?
I would say those who don't get vaccinated. No, I'm going to let. Point.
I'm going to let. Yeah. I'm going to actually let the doctor choose that. It could either be those who do not get vaccinated, people
those
like
selfish
me,
ones who are going to get my mother sick.
People who watch the Dark Horse podcast. We could also add a couple of the things. We had the story about the English government putting the Duchess of Cambridge in quarantine, or the Bitcoin Lake people.
I think she quarantined herself, did she not?
I don't know. I can't remember. I don't pay attention to my own stories.
Okay, just checking.
Doctor, we'll go with the unvaccinated people, the biggest idiots.
That's what Bob said. I'm
okay with that.
Okay with that?
I'm okay with it. All right, so
just wait till Bob's balls fall off. Just wait. We'll be laughing. Oh, remember that episode? Remember episode 51, Bob? Yeah, you're the biggest idiot.
You gotta have balls for them to fall off.
Won't that be due to a jealous husband or something?
All right. Well, for episode 51, today's biggest idiot, I hate to say it, are all those unvaccinated people. Get the jab. Don't worry about what's going to happen. A few years down the line, you'll be all right. Just do it. We'll give you some free beer.
Here's a lottery ticket.
Is that my compensation here in this podcast?
Yes. Yeah. We'd love to have you on again. Anything medical comes up in the future. So hopefully I can keep your contact information and maybe we can have you on again.
Sure.
If you're like, I'll never answer your emails again.
All right. And you're local. It's wonderful. You're local.
Right to spam.
All right. Well, thanks.
Where are you at, by the way?
I'm in Lancaster.
Lancaster? Okay.
Oh, Lake Clarence.
Clarence.
Right now I'm in Florida, but I'm in Alden. That's where I live.
Okay. Yep. Right. Feel free.
All right, everybody, make sure you connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, all that stuff. So remember, before the next show, there's no such thing as a... Wait. There's no such
as a
thing
tagline, he goes out as a, forgets it.
How does it go? There's no such thing as a stupid question.
Question.
Only stupid people who ask stupid questions.